Onus will send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty. Or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield, many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Monday. It is the 19th of September in the year 2005. We have no guests with us this evening. I have some information I'm going to share with you. I left my paper over at the computer. Sorry for that long pause. Our spiritual message this evening is a poem that I want to share with you. It's kind of what we talked about last week. Given the evil that's abroad on this planet at this time in our lives, and my thoughts constantly go to how we be in this world, our honesty, our integrity, our honor, our truthfulness, and our lovingness, our kindness, our compassion. And maybe that's a good place to focus our attention, folks, because besides knowing and understanding what's happening as much as possible. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Jackie.
Yes, Gene.
Pete Peters is reading through your program again.
Is this Alan?
Yes.
All right, well, if Nicholas... Oh, my God. Oh, shit. This is getting a little disgusting, isn't it?
Very much
did,
so.
Did you write their phone numbers down, Alan? When I was giving their phone numbers out, if Nicholas is there, I think he would come on the mic and let me know. But somebody needs to call WWCR. I can't.
Pardon? Doesn't the radio station monitor what's going on and let us know what's happening?
Who, WWCR? They monitor. They know what's going on.
I would think they take care of the media.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yes.
At $140 an hour? Hold on, Alan. Please don't go away.
Right.
I'm flipping back to try to find the phone number. Here, would you write a couple of these numbers down, honey? I'm not sure which ones you'd get through on.
Yes.
One is 615-255-1300.
215-255-1300.
Yes. 255-1377.
255-1377. Okay.
And then here's a 615-256 number. 256-2701. Or 255-1305. And Alan, if you get a hold of them, will you call me and let me know what goes on, please, honey? Well, there's another broadcaster that wants this time slot, and he's another broadcaster that at least I've been told, and he's on about 40 hours a week right now, but he wants the 9 p.m. And
it sounds like the bad thing too.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
So thank you, Alan, very much.
Bye.
And call me back, please, honey. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, folks, here we go again. At $140 an hour. We have a station, a satellite station, that's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he bleeds over. Sometimes they make a mistake and put his broadcast on instead of Sweet Liberty. And now we find that quite frequently it bleeds over. And given that they know that it bleeds over, you would think, wouldn't you, that they would be fine-tuning and staying on top of it? I hate to continue the stuff that I want to share with you tonight, if our shortwave listeners can't hear it. But I'm going to do our spiritual message. This is a poem. And about what I've already said, and I won't repeat it. This poem caught my eye because it's kind of what I was talking about. And, of course, our satellite listeners, I guess, would be able to hear this, and our Internet listeners. This is a poem titled, If I Knew. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. Please listen to this, folks. You know, the last time I saw Chuck alive was 2:30 in an afternoon. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Storm. Jackie, doing it again. Quit playing, what's that guy's name, Pete Peters' show. I'm hearing his show right over yours.
I know,
same time.
I got a call from one of our listeners, and he's trying to get a hold of them, Storm.
Yeah, all right.
Can you hear anything? Can you hear anything I'm saying?
Yes, I can hear you louder than him, but I didn't hear Pete Peters before. I wish they cut that out. Cut the crap out, whoever it is out there. I don't care whether it's one on the satellite
it's
or what.
It's the engineer, honey.
Okay, all right. Bye.
Thanks, Storm. All right. I want to preface this because you really should listen to this. Chuck passed away on a Saturday, sometime between 6:30 and 7 o'clock p.m. And the last time I saw him was at 2:30 in the afternoon, and I did hug him. And I told him congratulations on a wonderful week because his sales had really started coming up. And I told him I loved him. And he went out to stack firewood. And then the last time I heard his voice, well, maybe 5 or 10 minutes before, when it started getting dark and I flicked the lights on and off out back, and he popped his head out the door of the carriage house, which at the other end is where the wood is stacked. And he said, I'm almost done, honey. I got just a few more pieces. I'll be in just a bit. And the next time I saw him, he was laying on his back, sprawled out, and he was gone. And that's how fast it can happen, folks. Now, here's the poem. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I see you walk out the door, I'd give you a big hug and kiss and call you back for one more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I'd videotape each action and word so I could play them back day after day. If I knew it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute to stop and say I love you instead of assuming you would know I do. If I knew it would be the last time. Yeah.
Yes, I just called WWCR. I got the rumor that it's just, they're trying to work on it now, and sorry for the inconvenience.
Yeah, sorry for the inconvenience.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Alan. Thank you so much. Keep those numbers handy, would you please, honey?
Jackie, they do have it corrected now.
They've got it corrected now. It's getting to be a habit, isn't it, folks? Let me finish with this poem. If I knew it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more, so I can let just this one slip away. For surely, there's always tomorrow to make up for an oversight, and we always get a second chance to make everything just right. There will always be another day to say I'll love you, and certainly there's another chance to say are anything I can do. But just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you, and I hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone young or old alike, and today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret the day. The day that you didn't take that extra time for a smile, a hug, or a kiss, and you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their one last wish. So hold your loved ones close today and whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them and that you'll always hold them dear. Take time to say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me, thank you, or it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll have no regrets about today. What do you think about that, folks? And I know I've said this before, but he passed over on a Saturday, and it was either Wednesday or Thursday, either 3 or 2 days before he left so suddenly. But he walked into the studio here. I was at the computer actually writing an intro to our section on Iraq at sweetliberty.org, and he just walked in to see how I was doing. And I'll tell you what I was doing. I was formatting an article called Shock and Awe that was in Time magazine, and what they were going to do over to Iraq, and they were going to shock and awe the world. And they were talking about this new weapon they have called Dial-A-Hurt. And it was making me sick as I was formatting this. It's in the Iraq section at the website at sweetliberty.org if you want to see it, out of Time magazine. Pretty sure it was Time. But I was getting just almost nauseous, and I was heartsick at the evil. They said this weapon, they can turn it, see? They can turn the dials down or up, and it's technology. They said, well, they can knock out all the, the transmission of electronics. They can dial it down to just do that, or they can dial it up, and they can kill you so dead it'll take your body 30 days to rot. In other words, whatever the hell it is, it kills every microorganism alive in the physical body, so it doesn't even rot. That's like white flour. Yes, folks, you know, white flour, you'll keep it forever, and the bugs never get in it. There's no nutrients in white flour, and that's why you don't have to keep it in the fridge, and that's why it never gets bugs. It can't sustain life. And this Dial-A-Hurt weapon that they were talking about, they say they can kill you so dead it takes, I think, it's been 3 years, so, you know, but I think they said it takes 30 days for your body to even start to decay. Anyway, Chuck came in to see how I was doing, and I turned around and I took his hands, and I said, honey, we have no idea what would these evil creatures have in store, or even how long we're going to be in this world together. And to me, the most important thing that we could remember is to cherish every precious moment that we have together. And Chuck and I had either 2 or 3 days after that, folks. And so, given, and I'm not meaning to sound morbid here, but don't you think it's time to really take a good close look at ourselves, how we be with others, and get our house in order. And I don't mean our home that we live in that gets dust bunnies in it. I'm talking our individual being, our soul. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know about you, but that seems important to me. I have this report. I don't know. I don't watch the news, and I haven't been turning on CNN, so I'm not up on what's the latest as far as Katrina, etc. But one thing that I don't believe is that, in fact, I've talked to a couple or three people who have watched the news and really haven't seen this information. You see, from the reports that I have read, Katrina, by the time it reached New Orleans, had been degraded category 3. It was supposed to be a category 5 storm, but it blew itself out before it really hit its main target, I guess. And then, of course, you know, the dikes blew, and I'm convinced they were done by man. The waves didn't do it. The wind didn't do it. The damage from the storm from Katrina in New Orleans was not that devastating. Of course, there was some damage, but it was winds under 100 miles an hour, I understand. But Mississippi took the hit, folks, big time. And we didn't see that on the news, did we? And I've got this information here. It's a report that's being done, that's been being done. And I got looking at it the other day. I saw updates 3 and 4, and I did a search and found, and Sarah sent me 1 and 2 so that I could get to the beginning of this thing. And I did contact the individual who was writing it and ask if maybe they would come on the air and talk with you. Maybe this is just details, and maybe some would think it's irrelevant, but to get an inside look at something they haven't even been showing us. As far as the BS with FEMA and everything, they wanted people to see it. They're creating the rage, the anger. I don't understand it totally, but they're showing so much of the intentional letting people die. But we don't know about Mississippi, and that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. The individual, Keith, his name is, and it turns out I know him. Sarah told me who he was because he goes by Ghost Rider, and maybe he'll be on with us. They were going to try to get into Biloxi tonight. He did respond back. I wrote to him yesterday. But let me share this with you. I do have time to finish it. This is beginning September 3rd, Ground Zero Fringe. It says, greetings from Mississippi's Gulf Coast region. Our county, which is located about 35 miles north of the Gulf Coast, sustained a direct hit from Katrina's hurricane-force winds, which lasted almost 12 hours. The county is now decimated. Our home is presently a two-story convertible, in quotes, but it's habitable. Our neighbors suffered far greater losses as Katrina's powerful twisters gutted the community. Our beautiful little city, population 1,900, now resembles a pile of pickup sticks. Many homes in our neighborhood were flipped over. Others were simply blown to bits. But there's no, quote, victims here, unlike New Orleans. Rather, what you'll find is true grit. Although we've been living in hellish conditions during the past week, there's been no power, and the heat index has been near 115 degrees. There's nowhere to hide under such conditions. After assessing our own personal damage, we decided to check on the well-being of our immediate neighbors. Our friends, Francis and Lola, were standing in the front yard and looking at their house. Their house had been twisted off its foundation and the roof sheared off by a monstrous twister within the hurricane itself. Francis and Lola's belongings were sucked right out. But after a few somber moments, Francis said, come on and take a look at my new skylights. Lola chuckled and hollered out, propane stove is still working. How about a fresh cup of coffee? Yep, that's what we mean by true grit. Today we have our power back on, although thousands do not. The greatest unsung heroes of the hurricane are the men with working hands. No politicians here when it comes to restoring electricity. Without the thousands of utility workers who appeared overnight from ports north, east, and west, most of us would be dead within the next few days. No human being can withstand these levels of heat and humidity for such prolonged periods. I remember Chuck telling me about in Philadelphia during the time when it was raining for, 6 weeks in the Midwest, causing the Midwest flooding, and that high or Bermuda high or low they held off the coast, 100 to 110 degree weather in Philadelphia for that whole time, and people were dying and pets were dying, and this is 115 degrees with humidity, and isn't it amazing that very far north in Canada, Alan Watt, they experienced the 115 degree weather there this year. I will continue here. He said, we did have water during the whole of this hellish period, and that big old water tank. Oh, thank God, and that big old water tank. Our local community water people made certain, through the use of their diesel generator, that they pumped water every day for us. Folks, we cannot impress upon you enough that you can make all the emergency preparations in the world, but without a source of clean water, you'll die a tortured death within a very short amount of time, usually within days. By the way, since our water supply was likely compromised, we used a trick. We simply put a drop of oil of oregano into the water before we drank it to kill contaminants. Many of our friends on Mississippi's Gulf Coast are still missing in action. Many subscribers to this email list own houses directly in Ground Zero, Gulf Coast, Mississippi, an area that was slammed, listen to this, by a 38-foot-plus storm surge. We're expressly concerned about our friends and are putting out a Brazo today. If any of these people read this email and have the ability to respond to us with an I'm okay, please do so immediately. I'm just going to read these names. There aren't all that many folks, in case there's anybody on that list that you know. There's Dr. Hawk, Wayne Wilson, Captain Guy Toby, Guthrie Pulpwood, Ken Overstreet, Jerry Ladner, Bill Murdoch, Bob Marshall, Ralph West, Oscar Ladner, Mike Schauger, and many, many more. On another note, sadly, civil order is non-existent on the coast and has even become an issue in our small city. I know I sound like a broken record, but the only thing that works in such dire circumstances are small cells of citizenry which can help protect each other. In these situations, as food and water supplies diminish, this always is the end result. You are on your own. You are responsible for yourself. By the way, there's no fuel here. If another hurricane was to strike out at Mississippi, we'd certainly be sitting ducks. There's no escape this time. Stay tuned for additional emails and updates. Oh, by the way, Katrina, bite me. We never surrender. Your buddies at Ghost Rider. P.S. Our deepest gratitude is extended to the Western New York Citizens Militia for offering to send support personnel to Mississippi with food, generators, and water. We'll never forget you. That was on September the 3rd, folks. And then here's an update 2 days later. And I want to say thanks again to Alan in Michigan for making the call to WWCR and having the engineers or whoever has to do it get on the ball. Okay, this is the update. September 5th, Ground Zero Fringe update from a rural county north of Mississippi's Gulf Coast. Says power is slowly being restored throughout the county, although there are frequent prolonged periods. You know, when you're not involved in something like that, it's really hard to put yourself in that place, isn't it, folks? And maybe that's what compassion really is being able to empathize, to be able to understand, to sense, to feel what it would be like. And that's another reason that I wanted to share this with you, because it's so easy for us to get desensitized. And it's like, oh, wow, God, that's terrible. But there's no feeling. There's no feeling. I'm not saying that's across the board, but that's what can happen. And we say these, we mouth these words and say, oh, my God, that's terrible. But put yourself in the place. Put yourself in the place. Because, as Jesus said, what you do to the least of my brethren, you do also to me. Or not do, huh? Okay. Power is slowly being restored throughout the county, although there are frequent prolonged periods when newly replaced transformers blow again and you're plunged back into darkness. Thank God for America's linemen, who continue to work under the most grueling of conditions to restore electricity. Yep, I'll admit it. Air conditioning is keeping most of us alive today. Who cares about stoves and refrigerators at this point? The heat has been so intense and the humidity so very high as a result of all the moisture left behind by Katrina. You become quickly overheated and dehydrated. Who wants to eat a hot meal anyway? Since no one has a roof any longer, there's very little one can do for anything resembling shade. Oh, flee
to
the trees.
Hi, this is Brian. Calling
there
to
are
let
no
you know your cable
left.
TV rates are being raised again. There is an alternative. I can lower your...
We're going to take a break here. I just heard a man's voice in the background. Anyway, he said that there are no trees left. All the trees are lying on the ground or stripped clean. You're going to hear more after this break, folks. We'll be back.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Folks, here I am flipping pages again. I should write this down and put it in front of me. They don't always do the commercial at the half hour to let you know. Especially if you're listening on shortwave at 5.070 megahertz, and keep hearing another broadcaster over the top of this one. Here we are. You can get a whole month's worth of these broadcasts on Sweet Liberty Broadcasts on a DVD for $25. And I just think that's a heck of a good deal. And if you want more, they can put a lot of them on one little disc. And as I mentioned this before, if you don't have a DVD player, you really probably, well, when I got mine, Ashley said, my granddaughter, because I just got it last year, she said, Mo, you have a CD player. I said, yeah, and? She said, well, you haven't even joined the 21st century yet, and you've got a CD player. She thought that was real funny. Anyway, you can call them at First Amendment Radio at 559, if you want to write this down, 781-3773. And you can have copies of this broadcast and share it with your friends. I'm going to go back to the update, the report on the devastation, literal devastation in Mississippi. Oh, where we left off, I mean, he was talking about the heat and that there's very little one can do for anything resembling shade. He said that the place looked like a bunch of pickup sticks. Think about that. He says, flee to the trees. Well, there are no trees left. All the trees are lying on the ground and stripped clean. Wonder how high that wind was, folks. Last night, a thunderstorm blew in. This was September 5th, this was being written. And that's the last thing everyone needed. Most residents in our community have placed tarps over their roof holes. But this is insufficient protection against a couple of inches of rainwater blowing down from the sky and running into your electrical circuits. Not only are we going to bake, we might fry. And then there's a smile here. Whoops, there goes that transformer again. But life is good in Mississippi. There are intermittent deliveries of gas to stations in the county. Last night we spoke with several people who were parked at or near the gas pumps at a local rural station waiting for the fuel delivery, which would come in the morning. These people were from Illinois, North Carolina, and other states. They had driven to the Gulf Coast to rescue loved ones, or they were casino refugees. Wait till you hear about this, folks. There's one thing I neglected to include in my prior post. Last Saturday afternoon, less than 30 hours before Katrina was to strike out, Mayor A.J. Holloway of Biloxi, Mississippi, was interviewed by the local TV station. Holloway was off the scale in frustration and betrayal. Biloxi still had, listen to this, at least 100,000 casino patrons who remained gambling and in residence at Biloxi's Gulfport Resort, Front Resorts, because the casinos had not been ordered to close down yet. Holloway could not believe that the regulatory agencies refused to close down Biloxi's casino resorts and evacuate the people. What made the situation worse is the fact that after evacuation does take place, it then takes a minimum of 8 to 10 hours to secure and shut down the casino barges, i.e. the sewer lines, water lines, electricity moorings, and etc. As it was, regulatory agencies did not authorize closure until 1 a.m. Sunday morning, at which point it was far too late for these people to get out. So in addition to the 50,000 Biloxi residents, Biloxi was glutted with hapless, gambling, oblivious tourists who now were choking up all the evacuation routes. Don't you think that was done purposely, folks? Think about it. Many were forced. I mean, you see, they're not all stupid people. The people that are taking the orders, they're brainless. The minions. But those people that are giving the orders, they know what they do. And they know it very well. This wasn't a hapless accident that they kept those casinos open and glutted the highways so the people couldn't get out. We sure didn't. I don't know about you. I haven't seen this on the television. Anyway, he said that they were choking up all the evacuation routes. Many of those people, the casino people, were forced to weather Katrina sitting on an interstate. Thousands of other tourists simply opted to stay put in Biloxi, Gulfport. Now, they're trying to get home, only to live by the side of the road for lack of fuel, food, and water. Yesterday, the grocery stores were picked clean of anything edible. That is, unless you want cornstarch and water. A certain brand of lawlessness has seemingly set in further as Americans begin to prey on their fellow Americans under desperate conditions. This is what I'm talking about. How are we going to be? You know, maybe this sounds a little corny to some of you. I got this little bracelet that Amber gave me, my little granddaughter. I guess she gave it, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. They got out of the car when their mom and dad brought them here in the summer. And she got out of the car, gave me my hug, and took this bracelet off, put it on me. It's one of those cloth things. And it has the letters on it. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, maybe it would be good to ask ourselves that before we do these terrible things. You know, it is true that we do reap what we sow. And nobody, actually, it's quite beautiful to me because it isn't like a punishment. It's like perfect justice. We are allowed to reap what we sow. So before we do these terrible things to our fellow man, then we think about it, huh? He said, a certain brand of lawlessness has seemingly set in further as Americans begin to prey on their fellow Americans under desperate conditions. Their fellow Americans are under desperate conditions here, folks. This is the classic wolf pack mentality. The best way to survive is not to be the weakest sheep. Something else of import is in order. While many of our friends and neighbors appear to be getting stronger as a result of this terrible ordeal, The great majority are now sinking deeper and deeper into mental confusion. Some folks drive incessantly, burning up precious gasoline, looking for the next place to get gas. Others have become possessed with filling a jerry can with gas so they can keep a generator running to run a light bulb. Inevitably, sooner or later, they use up all the gas in their vehicle and end up stranded, and the light bulb goes out. Still others, our own people, our very own town folk, have become carpetbaggers. They sit for hours at gas stations waiting for the arrival of the fuel truck. Then they fill up the containers that they have loaded in the back of their pickup, 55-gallon, 25-gallon, and so on. Why? Are they being smart, preparing for the future? Nope. Rather than help rebuild Mississippi, they are taking the fuel to key hubs on critical highways, reselling it at high prices to the helpless individuals trying to escape coastal hell. Folks, America has become Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe had always been the communist blueprint for America, and now that very same plan has been effectively implemented. If these conditions are not yet shaping up in your city or town, you'd better plan that they will be soon. On another note, while the whole of the nation remains mesmerized by television images of black people on New Orleans rooftops, there are 200,000 good, hard-working Mississippians who are now refugees and homeless, living under building debris at night and begging for food and water during the day. There is little hope. There is little relief. I'm going to read that again. While the whole of the nation remains mesmerized by television images of black people on New Orleans rooftops, there are 200,000 good, hardworking Mississippians who are now refugees and homeless, living under building debris at night and begging for food and water during the day. There is little hope. There is little relief. These people are not being evacuated. Only the politically advantageous po-folk from New Orleans, who are being systematically showcased and then relocated to key points throughout the country: Fort Smith, Arkansas, Lubbock, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Massachusetts, Michigan, Iowa, Utah, etc. Will these disenfranchised minority hordes be used as Bolshevik-styled shock troops against these local populations sometime in the future? Who knows? What we do know is that for the short term, there will be a major destabilizing factor in these areas. These large groups of superdomers, to the tune of 250,000 at a clip, are being dumped in their newly appointed city. None of these cities have the resources to handle these so-called refugees. What will happen next? Stay tuned. Be prepared. Keep your chin up and keep your powder dry. From the Ground Zero Fringe. Now, the next one is 10 days later, September 15th, folks. Directly from Ground Zero, it says, "For the first time since Katrina struck, we were able to finally make contact with a Biloxi resident, one of our former neighbors in the Back Bay community. Here's Toby's reports." And this is from a guy in Biloxi. He says, "Our old neighborhood in Biloxi is gone. There are no buildings in that part of Biloxi which did not sustain catastrophic wind and water damage. Our old house on Walker Street in Old Biloxi had been washed from its foundation and split in half. One half blew into the old church across the street, effectively destroying that century-old church building. The other half of our former house washed into the street where the storm waters eventually dropped it. Neighbors report that you can see our bathtub shower unit and toilet in the one end of the house and the kitchen, other side of the house, permanently impaled in the church building. Keith's former fabrication shop, 30 by 40, had been ripped from its foundation and expanded and stretched by the excessive wind and water loads. This building had been engineered to withstand, listen to this, this building had been engineered to withstand 160 miles per hour winds. So how powerful was Katrina? Never mind what we're being told. Tidal surge in the Back Bay community approximated 14 feet. Our nearest neighbor, Arthur, had been diagnosed with lymphoma 2 years before. Arthur's about 35 years old. As he battles cancer of the lymph system, Arthur's most cherished possession is his terrier. Arthur and his beloved dog were caught off guard by this huge wall of water smashing through his Walker Street home. He managed to get himself and the dog into the attic. That is, until the water arrived there, too. Arthur kicked out the attic off the attic vent, out of the gable, and escaped onto the porch roof with the dog. The water kept rising. Can you picture this, folks? Can you picture this? Can you be there? I mean, see, it's almost more than our imagination can grasp. You know, your home, water. Oh, you run up to the attic and the water starts filling up the attic. And you get out there on the porch and the water is coming up over the porch. The water kept rising. With nowhere to go, Arthur spotted a large piece of insulation foam board rushing by him. He stuffed the dog into his shirt, leaped onto the styrofoam board, using it like a surfboard. Arthur rode out Katrina's fury on this surfboard while anchoring himself to a turbine vent on a nearby Head Start building. Our contact and his wife, a Biloxi Police Department tenured employee, stayed in their beach house during Hurricane Katrina. This house had weathered 1969 Camille with little or no trouble. As Katrina made her approach, Toby and Kathy observed a series of 25-foot tidal waves, 25-foot tidal waves bearing down on their house. Desperately, they stuffed bed linens between the wood doors and the storm door in an effort to keep the water out. Somehow it worked. They did receive several inches of water in the house, but they did not drown. The couple's other house on Back Bay received a 14-foot surge, although the structure survived. Our contact reports there are dead corpses everywhere. He found a body wedged underneath the fence across the street from his house. Arthur located a corpse washed up underneath his house. It's reported to us that the media is grossly understating the number of dead, which appears to be in the thousands. In Biloxi, in Gulfport, there are dead and bloated corpses everywhere, not yet picked up by authorities. Our contact reports that the smell of death permeates everything. Contrary to current news reports, the situation in Biloxi, Mississippi, remains very desperate. Power is spotty, as is water and sewer. No one has a house left. There is no shelter anywhere. We asked our contact if there was a way to come into Biloxi this weekend so that we could gather information to report back to our list. We were told that it was impossible. The city is gated and locked down. There are hundreds of military checkpoints. And if you can't demonstrate that you live in Biloxi, you simply cannot get in. And that, folks, is the way it should be. There ought not to be rubberneckers, thrill seekers, and transients looking to loot allowed in this ravaged city. as its residents try to handle day-to-day basic survival, let alone putting things back together. Well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe that is good. I see his point, and yet to me what really jumped out and grabbed me was that they were all military checkpoints, folks. He didn't say National Guard or State Guard, so I don't know what the exactly what, you know, the federal authority or what they've done there. Anyway, continuing here, and then we've got one more page, and we'll finish this before the hour is over. He says, that's a very good question. Oh, he was, his last statement. He said, you know, that the people, the residents, are trying to handle day-to-day basic survival, let alone putting things back together. And that's a very good question. How do you put this mess back together? How do you put your individual mess back together? The federal government will throw millions at Mississippi in an effort to rebuild the lost eight cities. Lost eight cities. But if you're the average guy looking at total destruction and mayhem, where do you find the funds to begin again? And where do you possibly find the energy to do so? We don't think it's possible on the individual level. And that was the 15th of September, and it's continued here on the 17th. And that was 2 days ago, folks. Ground Zero, update 4. And when he emailed me, he said they were going to try to get into Biloxi today, because their driver's licenses still bear the Biloxi residence. And there was something else. When I emailed him, I mentioned the FEMA insurance, and he said that in Mississippi there, well, at least in their Gulf port town, he said that they decided the mortgage. See, when I called the FEMA, I know I've said this on the air before, but when I called FEMA, the number that the Weather Channel was advertising all the time, she said it was a law that you had to have flood insurance, and if you didn't buy it from them, that your mortgage holder would buy it and you would pay three times as much. He said, well, in their particular area, they decided that the people didn't really need flood insurance if they didn't want it. So listen to what's happened. He says there are 65,000 homes lost. People who didn't get flood insurance because they were told it probably wasn't that important. And so they have nothing left except a piece of land. And he said, but they still have the mortgage. They still owe the bank. And as far as some of the people got hurricane coverage, he said that was a scam because they thought that the hurricane coverage would cover any damage from a hurricane. Nope. He says it doesn't cover the water, the surges, the flooding. So there we go. Let me do this because we are getting close to our end of our hour here. He said, we never did make it into the heart of Ground Zero yesterday, that being old Biloxi, Mississippi, but we got pretty close. We arrived in, I'm going to have to pronounce this the way it looks to me, Diberville/St. Martin, Mississippi, around noon yesterday. Diberville is about half a mile from Biloxi, just across Back Bay. The high water line in the central, now listen to this, the high water line in the Central Avenue Business District, as near as we could reckon, was about 10 to 12 feet. Diberville is about 15 feet above sea level. You do the math. Look at the depth of that water, folks. Diberville is gone for all intents and purposes. 98% of all structures received catastrophic damage. The other 2% somehow, miraculously, received a minor roughing up. But it's the stink that gets ya. We don't know how to explain it. It's a ripe, pervasive odor of dead sea creatures, decomposing dogs, cats, and human corpses, mixed in with the smell of rotting vegetation. The stink makes it hard to breathe. It clings to your skin, and even after you get home and take a shower, it remains in your nostrils And that's not the worst of it. D'Iberville and St. Martin residents are being told not to poke at the corpses. In other words, there are still hundreds, if not thousands, of unidentified human corpses lodged under rubble, houses, trees, fences, and even in the water. It's nearly impossible to determine who they are or which city they came from. It is similarly impossible to bag and tag this volume of bodies. So the bodies are being dealt with on a need-be basis. If there's not a need for it to be moved, it's being left for the time being. That's why survivors are being instructed not to touch or move the bodies. The harsh reality is this: if you poke them, the corpses burst. While the world wrings its hands over the plight of the victims of the floodwaters in New Orleans, these victims in most cases sustained little loss other than maybe some damp sneakers and flooded plasma television sets looted from the nearby Walmart, Mississippians are wiped out. We observed hundreds of Mississippians, i.e. the walking wounded, who were still on their properties. And translation, debris-covered slabs, acting like shell-shocked zombies, like the survivors of Dresden. Around them, stretched for miles, were 15 to 20-foot piles of stinking debris pushed in by the surge wave. All one could do was add your personal belongings to that stinking pile. We toured through D'Iberville's waterfront district just east of the I-110 bridge, a neighborhood that we knew well. There we looked for our friend Dodie Fournier's. Fournier's, I guess, seafood processing factory and his house. We found nothing, not even a slab. In this region, it appeared that a 30-foot-plus surge wave came in based upon our assessment of the huge metal and CBS seafood refrigeration and processing plants that used to dominate this area. All of these massive commercial structures were totally gone or glutted, shredded. Folks, this was no category for storm. Residences in this neighborhood, if the structures were still there, showed evidence of having been swept off their foundations and moved in some cases a few inches and in other cases a few blocks. What was astounding to us was that in the same residential block, regarding similarly styled homes, some were blown down, some were twisted and ripped, and others appeared to be in good shape, yet they were hundreds of feet from their original locations. The great majority of houses clearly showed that a monstrous wave of water came in through the front and exited through the back in one fell swoop. These were not rising floodwaters, mind you. This was a flippin' 30-foot-plus wall of water that simply blasted its way through anything and everything. Folks, we have about, two paragraphs to go, and I apologize. I will be back tomorrow night. Maybe Keith or Kim will join us. We'll see, and thank you very much for being here tonight. And thank you again, Alan, from Michigan, for calling WWCR. Good night, folks. God bless you.
Roll away the dawn. You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also